Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And before we start, Jim, everyone knows that the Northeast is about to get a massive wallop of snow Friday and Saturday. Could be over 2 feet in some parts of the D.C. metro area. And if anyone wonders how we'll deal with that, they can look no further than Wednesday night when we got just about a half an inch of snow that turned to ice on the roads and took some people 8, 12 hours or so to get home, and all local schools are closed today. So good luck next week, everybody.
Greg, I can see the grass poking out from the snow. And I mowed it not that long ago before winter set in. So it's really not that hot. But my understanding is, kind of breaking news for everyone, the D.C. area schools have been closed until March, just as a precaution. So good luck, working parents.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get on some fun stuff here in the good martini before we get into the less fun stuff and the bad and crazy. One of the things we knew about early on in the Democratic presidential campaign cycle is that they really weren't interested in having too many debates, and they were very interested in having the few debates they did have at really inconvenient times, so not too many people would watch the debates. A lot of people have decided it's a Hillary Clinton protection scheme authored by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she pretty much cracked down on anyone or any campaign, Martin O'Malley, asking for more events. Well, a funny thing happened on the way to Iowa and New Hampshire, and that's that Bernie Sanders is doing way better than expected. There was one CNN poll that has him up 60-33 over Hillary in New Hampshire, which is probably an outlier. But nonetheless, he's doing well in New Hampshire and Iowa. And lo and behold, Jim, on a moment's notice, we have a brand new debate on CNN, a town hall style meeting on Monday featuring the Democratic presidential candidates, because things aren't going quite the way some people were hoping just a few days before the first votes.
You know, I could argue that this is the bad martini, Greg, because this means on paper I should probably watch the debate. Having said that, watching something blow up in the face of Debbie Wasserman Schultz kind of feels fun, makes you feel good. Watching Hillary's arrogance come back and cause a problem for her, that certainly makes us feel warm and fuzzy and kind of giggly inside. I'd also kind of point out, we have our beefs about how the Republican debates have been held. Did some of these people get unfairly shoved off into the kiddie table debate? But they've had roughly one a month. They've all been pretty good. Some of them have gone for like 3 hours. They've been fairly substantive. Off the top of my head, there aren't a ton of issues you'd feel like, oh, they've been totally ignored. Democrats went with this original plan of six and only four before Iowa. Several are going to be on Saturday nights, and one was going to be on the Sunday night of Martin Luther King weekend, and they're going to be up against football, they're going to open the same weekend to Star Wars, and everything humanly possible to keep people from watching these debates. Now, like if Debbie Wasserman Schultz proposes this, and you're Hillary Clinton, even if you think you're the big favorite, wouldn't part of you be a little offended? Wouldn't you be? No, I'm a really good debater. I want people to watch this. I can handle this. I'm good. If like your own party is like conspiring to hide you, isn't that a giant open concession of don't look at this woman, don't watch her. The less you know about her, the more likely you are to win. You know, like everybody in the process should have said, you know, this is not a good idea. Let's put our candidates out there. Let's see how they do. And if for some reason Martin O'Malley sets the world on fire. I suppose you're scoffing, Greg, but he did set Baltimore on fire.
Well, indirectly.
Yeah. You know, like at some point, at some point, say, all right, you know, let him fight it out. Let's see how it shakes out. And that probably would be best for the party and best for the country. This is unthinkable thinking. And this is why, you know, like you hear all this griping about this all-powerful establishment in the Republican Party. You want to see an all-powerful establishment. Take a look at the Democrats, Greg.
And to think that that Bernie Sanders is the one causing all these all this stress and all these fits on the left, that's just even more entertaining. All right, enough of the fun. Let's get to all the strife on the Republican side now in the bad martini. And we alluded yesterday after the bizarre events in Iowa on Tuesday about how the establishment, if you want to use that term, is inching more and more towards Donald Trump if the race comes down to Trump versus Cruz. Make no mistake, there's plenty of other candidates they'd rather have than Trump, including Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and even Christie and Kasich. It probably would be ahead of those two. Now it's getting a little more public. The New York Times reporting that Bob Dole, the former Kansas senator, 1996 Republican presidential nominee, war hero, he's 92 years old. He says he's never been fond of Senator Ted Cruz, but in an interview Wednesday, Mr. Dole said the party would suffer cataclysmic and wholesale losses if Mr. Cruz were the nominee and that Donald J. Trump would fare better. I question his allegiance to the party, Mr. Dole said of Mr. Cruz. I don't know how you've ever heard him say the word Republican. Not very often. Uses conservative. If he's the nominee, we're going to have wholesale losses in Congress, state offices, governors, legislatures. He says that, this is the best part, he says he doesn't know how Cruz is going to deal with Congress because nobody likes him, but he says Mr. Trump, quote, could probably work with Congress because, you know, he's got the right personality and he's kind of a deal maker. So, Jim, fascinating.
Greg, first of all, after all these years of doing the Three Martini Lunch, I salute you for venturing into impression land and doing Bob Dole. Because I was about to say, you listen to me, Bob Dole. Jim Garrity's not going to let you run around making nonsense claims like this. You know that Ted Cruz is more electable than Donald Trump. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. There's so many obvious rejoinders here. Well, when it comes to losing presidential elections, I think Bob Dole's the expert there. Because one is that actually, let me, for being really snide and obnoxious in this martini, Greg, let me step back. It is a wonderful, pleasant surprise to know that Bob Dole is still alive and that he's still around and he's still offering his thoughts on politics. Having said that, he's been out of the game for a really long time. And the idea that he knows exactly, he's got his finger on the pulse of the American people and he knows exactly how it's going to shake out and that, you know, Cruz is so utterly unelectable and Donald Trump, one, I don't like this idea that, well, it's come down to two guys. Nobody's cast any votes yet. Maybe a couple cast absentee, but nobody else has cast anything. And yet we've only got to choose these two guys. But the next thought, we should turn to Bob Dole and say, Greg, has anybody in this entire process said, hey, what does Bob Dole think?
No, not that I'm aware of.
But also interesting in this, Greg, I wrote about this a little bit earlier, that Rubio was another guy that Bob Dole didn't like. And Rubio, he thought, was too young, not experienced enough, didn't have what it took. Do you know what Marco Rubio was doing in 1996, Greg?
Working for Bob Dole?
He was running the Dole campaign's office in Miami. I mean, kind of a little bit of an ingrate there, Senator Dole. I mean, so anyway, so here we are. Bob Dole says no. And on paper, that's supposed to make people feel less enamored of Ted Cruz. I would not be surprised if you saw these comments in a Ted Cruz ad sometime soon.
Later in the story, we get to the real thing. Apparently, and this should come as no surprise, that Ted Cruz has said that Republicans have made mistakes in past years by not nominating more conservative nominees who could win and make big changes in the country. So he says, remember President Dole, remember President McCain, remember President Romney. And then Dole says, in other words, we weren't right wing like he is, and I didn't like that very much. It kind of hurt because we worked hard. We did the best we could. So apparently Ted hurt Bob's feelings.
Asked for comment, Senator Dole responded, I believe that's spelled E-R-G, comma, A-R-G.
All right. On to the crazy martini now. And
that wasn't the crazy martini.
It certainly could have been. That could have been a dual one. Anyway, let's move on to the Flint water crisis. This is something that's gotten quite a bit of attention in the past couple of weeks. It's been going on for the past couple of months at least, and it's gotten more attention because the president's talked about it. Hillary Clinton mentioned it in the debate on Sunday, and Michigan Governor Rick Snyder took responsibility for fixing the problem in his State of the State address earlier this week. But basically, Flint's Democratic city government decided they didn't want to get their water from Detroit anymore. They wanted to get it from Lake Huron. Detroit didn't like that, so they told them to figure out a new way to get water while they were trying to figure out how to get water from Lake Huron. They got it from the Flint River. It's contaminated with lead, leads to all sorts of potential health problems, and it turns out that local officials didn't say much about it from the get-go. State environmental officials didn't say much about it. The EPA decided not to say anything publicly for months at a time. And so a lot of different Democratic officials here, some Republican officials, but somehow, Jim, the media has made this entirely Rick Snyder's fault. He's trying to kill all the people in Flint.
The idea that of all the people, you know, who might have any, you know, role or responsibility in this, that Rick Snyder is the one who's got to resign, really kind of just mind-boggling. The editors have written a very good piece on this. And actually, I got to say that if you read the actual coverage of this, Ron Fournier, a guy from Michigan, has been writing about this in National Journal, and actually had it struck me as a very fair interview with Snyder, which he's clearly not letting him off the hook, but he's also wants to get the full kind of accounting of how this happened step by step. People kind of waiting for Fournier to jump on the bash Republicans bandwagon. He's actually been pretty, and the Huffington Post has been pretty good about this. The really short version is, this was made a decision made by the city council to switch water suppliers. The water supplier switch was not going to be ready in time, so I decided to use this from the river. It's not that the water river by itself was bad, but I guess if you don't treat it properly, it'll go through lead pipes and it'll end up getting lead into the water. And that's what happened here. EPA did a study on this and found, hey, there's too much lead in the water, and the EPA chose not to reveal it. So the EPA comes across on this as bad. The local government comes across on this as bad. And yes, the people in state government should have done better for this. The state is being run by a city manager that, yes, was appointed by Rick Snyder. The guy's a Democrat. It's not like this is, vast right-wing conspiracy doing this. What we're seeing here is another vivid depiction of government incompetence, cover-ups, slow-moving, lack of communication between bureaucracies, everything we've come to expect from government. Now, if you want to get angry at Rick Snyder about this, okay, he could probably do a better job of looking over state government. His state environmental head definitely did not handle this the way he should have. Although apparently at one point, his chief of staff sent an email to other state departments saying, hey, you guys are really blowing off Flint on this. This is an issue that deserves some action. Apparently most people knew about these lead levels for quite some time. We're talking about 6 months here, Greg. So if all you get walking away from this story is, Rick Snyder's a bad governor and he should resign, you're getting about maybe less than 5% of this story, and that 5% is particularly dubious.
Not a good performance by government at any level, and not a good performance by the media at any level, with a few exceptions, as you mentioned. So, Jim, on that note, hunker down, clear out the grocery store. We'll talk to you, I guess, on Monday.
And prepare to eat your neighbors. You think there's a show Monday, Greg?
Well, Monday of next month or year, I don't know. We'll see.
By Tuesday, we'll be Hoff. I'm slicing open Tauntaun as we speak. Thank you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.